Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse, Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we will continue with our letters.
Yes.
Linda, you will read for us.
Letter number 65 to Federico Abresh, in Voluntate Dei. My dearest son in the divine will, forgive my delay. I let you know that I am always in the divine volition, in which I want, as does Jesus, to find all my children, near and far, that is, the ones who want to live in the holy will. May heaven save us from a misfortune so great of going out of it. Dearest son, you must know that this is a task which God gave us in creation. The origin of our existence was formed in the center of the supreme fiat. God created our human will as his divine room, as a secret office in which he was to live together with us and have his pulpit in order to teach us the celestial doctrine of his will. Therefore, no law can impose on us not to live in it, neither the Holy Church, as much as we bow and adore her dispositions, nor God himself can say to us, I do not want you to live in my will, because he himself, with highest wisdom, gave us the right by creation. By living in it, we must be the dwelling of God, the bearers of our Creator, the ones in whom, in order to pour out his delirium of love, he was to become the narrator of his divine being, within the secret room of our human will. And therefore, he wants us to know how much he loves us, and that he wants us to live in his will, with that same love with which children and father live. Oh, how embittered he becomes if we do not live with him, if he does not hold us tightly on his paternal knees, if he does not give us continuously his gifts, his life, his sanctity. He does not like dissimilarities. He wants us similar to him. And in order to do this, listen to his device. He gives love in everything we do and wants us to give him our will as a gift in order to give us his own. In this exchange, he makes the life of the divine will grow within us in such a way that as we give our will, his will grows. And every time we give our will, he delights in working his divine marvel in us. Therefore, dearest one in the divine will, let us be attentive. Let us remain in our place. Let us not bother about the thunders and the storms, although they have embittered me down to the marrow of my bones. I hope that they will change into a serene heaven and into thunders of light and of love for the entire world and for the triumph of a kingdom so holy. We can say that we are burning on the stake of the sufferings on which they put us, but I hope that this stake will serve to burn the prison of my body, so I will be able to take flight for heaven in order to obtain the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. I thank you very much for the hospitality you offered me. In exchange, I pray to Jesus that he would give you his perennial hospitality in the divine fiat. Pray for me, for I need it very much. Leaving you enclosed in the holy volition, united with good Amelia and my little Puccio, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see, in this letter, those who have read the book of Adam, this is this letter is very similar to what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in those revelations concerning Adam, that at the beginning he gave us the right, when he gave Adam and Eve the right to possess his will. That was their inheritance. And they were supposed to pass it on to the children. They were supposed to be born with this gift, with this unity with God. Had Adam not had sin, then we all will inherit this gift automatically. But Adam needed to be put into the test to be able to be confirmed forever in the gift of possessing the will of God operating in him in everything that he was doing continuously, as he was continuously operating in that will, with operating with this the one sanctity of God in everything he did. So he wanted to confirm Adam in order to, or he wanted to test Adam in order to confirm him into the possession of his will, operating in him constantly. Then, at the beginning of this letter, it says God created our human will as his divine room. We all have one soul. One of the powers of the soul is the human will. And this human will that represents God the Father, we can say, the Lord says, Luisa Picaretta says that is the divine room. God created our human will as his divine room, meaning that he was operating, because it is through the will that we operate, that we move. So if the will of God was in this room, that is the will, then it means that it was operating at every moment. That God was in action, the will of God was in action at every moment through the union of the human will. And this was a sacred office in which he was to live together with men. So the will of God operating in Adam, operating in Eve, was supposed to operate in all of us. So from there, the divine will operating. In a way, we could say that the divine will incarnated itself in the human will by virtue of this union is just a metaphoric way to explaining it. And then he says, and gave his pulpit in order to teach us the celestial doctrine of his will. So from there, he was teaching Adam how to operate in the divine will. So therefore, when she says, nobody can say, don't read these books or don't practice this way of living, because this is the original way of holiness. And by us learning about the knowledge, about the gift, then by putting it into practice, by understanding it, then we go back to the point of origin. So, in a way, the purpose of creation is being fulfilled in each one of us. So, how here we find that there is the gift of knowing the gift. Which all of us who know about these writings, who know about Luisa Picaretta, we know the gift. Then we have to ask for the gift of understanding it. Many people out there, they know about Luisa and they don't understand it because they don't read it or they don't put it into practice. So the gift of knowing, the gift of understanding it, and then the gift of putting it into practice, basically to live it out at every moment. So this celestial doctrine, or I would say that this is the doctrine of all doctrines, because the divine will is the source of everything, is the will of God, is the sanctity of all sanctities, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in the writings. So, therefore, even though we respect the judgment of the church, as much as we bow and adore her, Luisa Picaretta says, these positions. Not even God can say, don't live in this way. Why? Because it will be contrary to what God is, and God cannot contradict himself. Maybe here we are entering a little bit into a philosophical argument or interpretation, but you know that God cannot create anything higher than a spirit, because he's a spirit himself. So, since God is a pure spirit, he cannot create something that is higher than a spirit. The angels they are pure spirits, but they are limited also. God is complete knowledge, complete pure spirit, pure light. So he cannot create anything higher than himself, we can say. And when Luisa Picaretta mentions that not even God can say, don't, live in this way in my will. Or I don't want you to live in my will. He cannot say that. It will contradict who God is. So by telling us, yes, I want now to operate in you because you are the sanctuary of my will. You are the room that I created for my will to be operating in the world. And for my will to operate in you, the creature, for me to live in you at every moment through your actions, through the will. So this is very profound, I think, because It helps us understand also sacred scripture that God rested in the soul of man, that we are the resting place, the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, and that it is through our littleness that He is able to operate in us, that He is able to little by little expand our capacity to receive, expand our capacity to give also, because the more acts we do having this unity or letting the divine will operate in us, in this sacred room that He created for Himself, basically, then the more we allow Him, the more He can give us, and the more we can give to God, and the more He can expand our capacity to receive. So in this way, in this notion, we see then the theological significance that we are like God, because God is spirit and our soul is spirit. We are able to locate, in a way, to identify the free will, the intellect, the memory as functions of the soul, but we are not able to see the soul. Because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. So, in that sense, also, we are like God because we are spirit. Part of our makeup is spiritual. Once the soul exits the body, then we become corpses. So what God gives life to the body through the soul. And He is in the soul, operating through the human will. And then he says that, no, then because God wants us to be in that union with Him, it will contradict Him. It will contradict Him. He cannot say, I don't want you to live in my will. It will be a contradiction. Because He Himself is the highest, as Epicurus explains. And in creation, this gift was given to Adam. So God was to dwell constantly in man. And what happened during the fall? Yes, we rejected that presence, and then we became empty vessels. So what do we need now? We need to be filled, refilled. And this is what happened in baptism. But before that, we needed the restoration. That's why our Lord Jesus came and He reconciled us. And then He gives us the fruit of all that redemptive work that He did that is contained in the sacraments. That through this, He's able to heal us, empty vessels, broken vessels. He's able to reconcile us to God, to heal us, and then to put us back together, and then start filling us up with Himself, with Him, through the sacraments, so that we may be restored to that grace. And this is what we are now trying to understand, that we have to arrive to a point in time in which now the gift that was taken from us by the disobedience of Adam and Eve now is available through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And Luisa Picaretta, in this letter, she is explaining it, how this is was given to us from creation, that it belongs to us, that we are supposed to be the bearers of God Himself. So more than tabernacles, we have to be living tabernacles, and this is where we become living tabernacles, where we receive the sacraments. And then through the human will, He wants to keep expanding this room that he's talking about. Because God is infinite, he came forever, be given and given and given and given, and he will never be exhausted of giving himself, because he has nothing else to give but himself, and he will not give anything else than himself. Because he loves us, and his love demands that he gives always the best. And he is the highest good. Now, creation is given to us as a place, as a physical place to live in. And creation expresses and is a expression of God's love for all of us, and is everywhere. The love of God has been expressed in creation everywhere, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the colors, in the noises, in everything that we see out there. There is something of God in there for us, and it's an expression of His love, not for the elements, not for anybody else, but for each one of us, that have the free will to correspond. Now, this room has to be expanded. And the only way that it can be expanded, it is through this, by virtue of this union. Then, of course, you can. I have mentioned this many times, and I always mention it, that we are not able to see the expansion in our soul, of our soul, but in a way we are able to experience it. Just look, when we read about one particular subject, the more we read, the more we expand our knowledge and understanding of that subject. The more we study numbers and we do equations and subtractions and all of this, the more we understand the science. So our capacity to do more complicated, to resolve more complicated problems, equations, and then it becomes easier. Why? Because our capacity has expanded. We see this in the little children, you know, like when they learn to the numbers 1, 2, 3, the letters, and then they learn how to add numbers, subtract numbers, then to read, to write. Then you see there the capacity is being expanded, and it continues to expand and expand and expand the more we continue to study that particular subject. So the same here is kind of the same concept. The more we continue to know more about God, our capacity to understand Him and to contain Him is increased. The more we unite ourselves to Him in the simple little things, in the simple little things, then the more our capacity to receive and also to give, to embrace what He gives to us. So that's why He wants us to know this gift, and He loves it. He loves it so much that He wants us to live in complete union with it. Then, only then, He can see His children being basically filled with his own life. In a way, we can see that then his paternity is being fulfilled. Because when the father, let's put this not in the spiritual, but in the physical realm, when the father gives everything to his children, and the children, they are able to receive and to live in that unity and harmony, then in a way that human paternity is being fulfilled. But here, the paternity of God, the Father, is being fulfilled because then his children possess him himself, basically, and growing in his own image. Moment by moment, that paternity is being fulfilled in us, in each one of us. So then the purpose of creation, which is for the glory of God, that everything must be for the glory of God, that we will be able to live in this unity so that God the Father will receive praise, glory, honor, and adoration. And we will grow in that union, in that experience of God, experiencing God Himself at every moment. Then that purpose is being fulfilled in us. And then he talks about the embitterness that comes, that spiritual sadness, we could say. We know that in God there is no sadness because God is perfect. But we are talking in human language to try to understand this sadness, that something is missing, that the correspondence of the creature is missing there. We are not in union with God, even though we can do many, 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 many good things. But if we are not in that union, there is something missing there. Is good, but not perfect. And we are called to perfection. Be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So here we are called to perfection, and this is the answer to that prayer. This is the answer to that, that we may come to perfection, that we may allow him also to perfect us moment by moment. So he says that, oh, how embittered he becomes if we do not live with him, if he does not hold us tightly on his paternal needs, if he does not give us continuously his gifts, his life, his sanctity. Why? Because he will look at us and he will see that we are not similar to him. In other words, he will not be able to reflect himself in us. He wants us to be similar to him. He wants us to be another Jesus. He wants us to be basically his own mirror, that he will look at us and he will see another of himself, another Jesus. And only in this union, this thing can happen. So what Luis de Picarreta is asking, so what he does, what is the thing that he does in order to see us similar to him? He gives love in everything we do. In everything we do, he also gives love. So now, in this union, in everything that we do, it basically is telling us, I love you. No, it's not only me telling him, I love you when I blink my eyes. Then I have to realize that he's also telling me, I love you. Because he's the one who gives us the ability to do that. So it goes both ways. is a two-edged sword, as Saint Paul will say. I say to him, I love you with my blinking, but he's also telling me I love you. It's like a competition between God and the creature. God saying, telling the creature, I love you. And then the creature becoming aware and say, wait a minute, I love you more. And then he says, no, I love you 1,000 times. And the creature says, no, I love you 10,000. No, I love you 100,000. And so on. We compete and compete and compete. This is the kind of competition that he wants to see in us. In other parts of the Book of Heaven, I think it's in the hours of the rounds. I think it's in the fifth hour. It says that underneath in the state of grace, they compete among themselves to love God because they knew that. So now that we become aware that it is also Him telling us that He loves us. In everything we do, he wants us to give him our will as a gift in order to give us his own. You know, one of the things that Luisa Picaretta, the gifts that she has, is that she's a very, very good teacher. She explains things in a very simple way. This letter is from 1938. Later in her life, almost 9 years before her death. In this stage of her life, in this stage of her life, she already knows the divine will. She possesses the gift. She knows how to operate it, and she continues to grow in the knowledge. So we see that she expresses these truths in a very simple way. But you know, this is very deep. This is very deep. So he wants an exchange. I give you my will in exchange for your will, Lord. And he's telling us the same thing. By name, he's telling us, he's calling us, I give you my will in exchange for your will. And he continues to offer his gift to us, this will, to recognize it. And what happens? So, what are the effects of this union? We see here the effects of the soul being in union with the will of God. It says, He makes the life of divine will grow within us. So, we grow in knowledge, understanding, in that light. Just imagine the light that Luisa Picaretta sees at the end of her life, and she says, oh, these are the suns. Every single act that they are waiting for me. Or what Father Hannibal saw also. I was so surprised that I did so little about the divine, the arts of the passion. I see all this light. It's a corroboration of what the Catechism tells us, that God is light. He's pure light. And what he wants to fill us with himself, with light, with pure light. And we should be able to make these connections now that, yes, at every moment he's filling us with his own light. And he uses the light of the sun as a point of reference so that we may understand that, yes, that he is. Imagine he created the sun, and the sun has so much light. And this is only a little tiny sparkle of who God is. Imagine. So God giving himself in many different ways, but in a specific way now through this union. So, what is the effect of the divine will dwelling, operating in the soul? That that the soul is being filled with God Himself. That we are growing and expanding. And this happens also the more we read about the divine will, the more some glimpses of light come, and we say, "Oh yes, this is what he means by that." It will happen that you will read, and then perhaps you will not understand, but later you will hear something at mass or somewhere in another reading, and then it will click because it's expanding our intellect over and over and over and over. So that's the effect of the divine will operating in the soul. That he makes the life of the divine will grow within us. Lisa Picaretta says, in such a way that as we give our will, his will grows. And every time we give our will, he delights in working his divine marvels in us. We become the field that the gospel, that our Lord just talks about in the gospels. He's able now to come and put the seeds and seeds and seeds. Then we are able to bear much fruit, hundredfold. So that's why we have to go back to our place. What is our place? Union with His will. That's the point of origin. And this will advance us in the spiritual growth so much more than any other way we know. Because everything else is, in a way, human. And this is the original way that in which we were created and God intended for us to live since the beginning. And since God does not change his mind, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he still wants us to operate with his will in us. Because only in this way he will receive complete glory, complete honor. Only in this way justice will be met. So let's try to see if we can finish the next letter. It's a short one.
Letter number 66 to Sister Remigia, Fiat in Voluntate Dei. My good daughter, Sister Remigia, thank you for your little letter. I appreciated it so much. My dear Jesus reward you by forming his life in you. However, it takes great attention. First of all, you must try to have the necessary food in order to nourish dear Jesus and let him grow. The first necessary food is peace. Disturbance is not food for Jesus. Peace forms the day and converts everything we do into love. With it, we form abundant and divine material in order to form Jesus, nourish him, and make him grow. Once we have formed the necessary substance, the divine will invests it and forms the life of his will. Oh, how happy he becomes then. Jesus finds in us his will that loves him, courts him, and keeps him in feast. And then what happens, my daughter? Our breath, our heartbeat, and motion become the breath, the heartbeat, and the motion of Jesus. We receive his life, we make of it our model, and all our acts are modeled by the life of Jesus. Therefore, be attentive. Love, peace, and everything will smile at you, also Jesus himself. This is my wish for Holy Christmas. Be good, make yourself a saint. Let all things be will of God for you. With this, having a divine will in your power, how many beautiful and good things will you not be able to do? Everything. Pray for me, and leaving you in the eternal waves of the divine will, I say, your most affectionate aunt, Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, December 1938. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So, since this letter is addressed to Sister Remigia, and then at the end it says that your most affectionate aunt, they are related. I think this is the Luisa's niece. It will be Luisa's niece. And you know, if you see these letters, Luisa Picaretta, for her, basically to dispose the soul for the divine will, she says peace is the element that disposes or prepares the soul for the divine will to operate in us. And then we have to look at what is peace. Is it just the lack of warring? Or does it go much deeper than that? I think there is a passage in the Bible that says in Sacred Scripture, be still and know that I am God. So basically to rely in God himself, not to be an inflated balloon, but to always be the same, to have faith, to have trust in God, to be grounded in God. And for this, of course, it requires that we know our faith also, that we have that knowledge. So that's why we have to always be reading, you know, be reading about our faith, to know the catechism, to know the teachings of Christ, the Gospels, to be able to give explanation in that way. Also, that in itself, the Word of God prepares our soul to receive. It creates that disposition in our soul. So for her, the element of peace is necessary. And then she mentions disturbance, which is the opposite of peace, is not food for Jesus, but it is peace that forms the day, basically that dispels all the darkness, dispels all worries, and converts everything we do into love. Now we have to remember that love in God is to give himself. In God, love is not a sentiment, is not a feeling. When God loves, he gives himself. He gives and he gives himself because he has nothing else to give than himself. And he wants to give nothing else but himself, because he wants to give nothing else but the highest good, the best of the best. And he is the best of the best. He is the highest good. So in us also, when we love, is giving ourselves to God. So this is what happens when we are united with his will. We give ourselves in the act of eating, in the act of walking, working, palpitating. We are giving ourselves over and over and over and over, because everything that we have that only once. And we either give it to God or we do something else with that. The breath that I took yesterday, I don't have it anymore. So did I use that to love God? The one from tomorrow, I don't have it yet. It is only the present one that I have. So do I use it and give it to him? Or do I worry and waste it? All my acts just in worrying. Or do I enter into that peace, into that realization that I depend completely on him, that everything depends on him, and then find my peace in him. And from there, I take my breath. Everything that I do, every movement, I take it from there, that he becomes really the center from which I operate daily, moment by moment. So that will bring peace, that will bring order in the soul. It will form the day of the soul, not to worry. And then converts everything into love. In the Book of Heaven, there is a place that it says it converts everything also into a prayer. And in here, we can go a little bit deeper because we can talk about prayer. The Catechism says that in the last section that is dedicated to prayer, different ways of praying, it says that prayer is the rising up of your mind, of your soul, in a thought to God. So prayer from us, for us humans, prayer is rising up. It goes from the bottle to the top. But prayer in God is giving also himself. So it is the opposite. In God is coming down and meeting the creature, giving himself to the creature. But prayer for us is giving ourselves to God. Isn't the opposite? So that's why when Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is on the cross, he's praying because he's giving himself up to the Father. So in every moment we give ourselves up, we offer ourselves up to the Father. And that becomes a prayer, that becomes an act of love. So in that sense, we can say that that's God. That's how God prays, giving himself to the creatures. And in the creature is giving up himself to the Father. So then Elizabeth Carreta, since she knows already this science, and she now is trying to communicate this gift. She goes with these elements. You need to have this peace in you. This is the way to prepare the soul. And I don't know if you have experienced it, but one of the moments that we can really experience, again, we don't see it, but we can feel it. Sometimes this is visible in some people that they are very serene. And you can see the peacefulness that they can transmit. Some people, they really exude this, joy, happiness, peace, all of this. And one of the places that we can really experience this peace is in the sacrament of confession. And this is one of the ways we can prepare ourselves. We can dispose our souls to receive this gift also. Even if we are now, even if you know this gift for a long time and you continue to struggle and we continue to do our best, but the more we dispose our souls, we fall, we go back to confession. We ask the Lord to give us His grace to continue. So we experience to a certain level this peace. because God is giving us a little bit more and more, and He lets us taste of this as a way to basically to encourage us to keep moving forward towards the light, keep moving forward towards this union with His will, especially now that we are here, because it is on this side now that this gift is being offered to us. And it will make a difference, because if you receive this gift, then your capacity again will be increased. Your capacity for God, your capacity for love will be increased at every moment. But only each one of us can do it, because I cannot do it for you, you cannot do it for me, because each one of us has this free will, this gift. So everything, once we enter into this way of operation, Luisa Picarreta says, everything is converted into love. And with that, we form abundant and divine material in order to form Jesus. So in this way, he's been nourished, he grows in us until we become another Jesus, hopefully. So this is the substance, she calls it, that is necessary for the divine will to enter into us, that peace. Remember, even in the book of Genesis at the beginning, it says that in the beginning there was chaos, there was darkness. So yes, that's what happens before baptism. We are in chaos. Our soul is in darkness. So he enters into us through the sacrament of baptism, and he brings order. And this order, which we call it the graces of our baptism, we have to grow in the graces of our baptism. And here we get to renew the graces of our baptism, not only during Holy Week, not only during the Christian Mass, when the bishop blesses the oils. No, at every day, at every moment. At every day and at every moment. Then the once the divine will is in us, then this peace, once we have the disposition, the divine will is able to operate in us, then we continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And Elizabeth Carreta mentions it here. The divine will invests it and forms the life of his own will in everything we do. In the simple breath, our heartbeat, our motion. It becomes the motion, the heart beating of Jesus. So we receive his own life. We can say his own life operates in us. So, and even Luisa Picarreta says our acts are being modeled to his acts. So we enter into the Jesus' mood, you can say, in that divine will life. So then this is what Adam and Eve possessed at the beginning. This is what belongs to us and what God wants to give us. So everything becomes a prayer, everything becomes an act of love. We die to ourselves at every act. We give ourselves with every single act. But this requires a little bit change of mind in us. And this is what St. Paul says, conversion, metanoia means change the way you think. And for us here to change, what we need to change is to really believe that with everything we do, we are praying, we are adoring God. Not only when we stop in the middle of our activities during the day and we pray the rosary. Not only when we go to Mass in the morning or in the afternoon, whatever you do. No, that then this becomes real at every moment. So I'm not saying don't pray the rosary or don't do your novenas or don't go to Mass. I'm saying that everything becomes a prayer, everything becomes an act of love. And if we look at love not as a feeling, as a way of giving ourselves. So I give myself to God in the act of the blinking of my eyes. In the act of working, I'm giving myself to God. I'm saying, here is my will. Then I become an oblation. I'm offering my will at every moment. That becomes my offering. And then when I go to Mass, I just simply unite myself to the will of God and then I let Him offer it. So I offer myself in union with Him. And I become the oblation. Then after Mass, then I continue to offer myself. And then I offer my will as an oblation and all the acts of my will. And since I am inseparable from my will, then basically I'm offering my whole self. And everything becomes love, everything becomes an act of prayer, a constant prayer. So I'm not giving anything else to God, but me, I'm giving me to God, just as God is giving Himself to me. So I become more like He is. So just think about this, pray about this, and let us ask the Blessed Mother to give us the grace to enter into that union every time that we may be able to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the union with His will, with the will of our Lord Jesus, that He may be able to transform us, to heal us, to restore us, and to make us another of Himself. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Through the intercession of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, may the Lord bestow upon us all the blessings that we need to live in this gift of the divine will. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.